atop the Van Dam building in the heart of Ronville. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting. Yowza, yowza, yowza.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you very much. Please sit down. Please sit down. Take your seats. The applause is deafening and it's embarrassing. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I can prove it. Look, it is. I'm the one in the middle. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Take care. Good night, everybody. What? Oh, I have to do the show for... Okay. I thought I could get off easy by just doing an opening and a quick closing, and then I can go take a shower. But I guess not. Oh, man. Right? You know what I'm saying? This is what the Olympics are going on. Did you know that? No one know. That's not really a good deal. It's not. It's taking place in China, which is a fine country if you like China. I don't know. They should have had it somewhere like in Hackensack, New Jersey, or something. They never have the Olympics in Hackensack, New Jersey. What day of the week is this? Does anybody know? Raise your hand if you know what day of the week it is. Thursday? No, I don't think so. Thursday was last week, wasn't it? What's today? Tuesday? No, you're jumping the gun. I think it's Monday because... oh, that's right. As I said on a few on the show last week, actually, Monday is when they collect the garbage in front of my house. I put garbage out in front of my house, and a truck actually takes it. I know. They fall for it every time. You know, it's funny about garbage, about stuff that you don't want. You put out an old chair with the garbage next to your trash can, and the garbage people, I call them the garbage people, the sanitation workers of America, they won't take the chair. They'll take everything but the stupid old chair that you're trying to throw out. Isn't that funny? And then if you go outside, you put a sign on the chair that says free, no one will take it. That doesn't make any sense. But if you put the chair out and you don't put a sign on it and it's not next to a garbage can, someone will steal the chair and take the chair. That's the trick. You got to make human beings think like they're stealing something in order for them to take it. It's true. It's like at a flea market where, no, they don't sell fleas there, although they might as well. If you put a chair out there and you say like $20, I go, I don't want it. How about $1? Oh, that's a steal. I'll take the chair. I thought you didn't want the chair. I don't want the chair, but for a dollar, it's a steal. I'll take the chair. Oh, God. People are so weird, aren't they? I mean, other people, not us. I'm talking about all the other people that aren't listening to the show right now. Aren't they weird? Isn't there something wrong with them? I know. Yeah, I know. People are weird these days. I know. I mean it. I'm serious. They are like, whoa, they're strange. They're just strange. They're getting weirder, too. Have you noticed that? They were weird before. Now they're even weirder. It's like they're taking weird classes down at the senior center. I think they have those, by the way, because the results are obvious. Anyway, Yeah, the Olympics are underway, and I couldn't care less. I just don't want to see the pomp and circumstance. There's no circumstance when I want to see pomp. I don't even know what pomp is. I've had circumstances before, but I've never had any pomp that I'm aware of, unless someone snuck in a pomp and I didn't know it was there. So I'm not into the pomp and circumstance. I don't know what I'm talking about either. I don't like the Olympics. I don't like it. I don't like competition. I don't like it when one person's better than the other. We're all equal or all the same, except for those of us that are better than others. Other than that, we're all the same. Our abilities vary. Sometimes you can do something well that I can't do at all, or I can do something well that you can't do well at all. It's okay. It all equals out in the end, but I don't like the Olympics. I don't care for it, especially when there's some type of a virus thing I heard about going on, and it's in a country where they don't exactly have anything to do with human rights that make any sense. I just don't like it. You know what? The Winter Olympics? Excuse me. Didn't we just have a Summer Olympics really recently? I'm Olympic'd out. You're kind of taking away the majesty and fun of it. Remember the Olympics used to be every 4 years? That was fine. I could just forget about those damn things for 3 years and 11 months. Now they're every 2 years, and I think this is now it's every like 1 year. This is getting crazy, man. This is just getting nuts. Countries competing against each other? What? That's not why we made countries, so you can athletically compete. Here's the one sport in the Olympics and otherwise that I do not understand. It looks like a little bit of fun, but it's also so stupid I'd be too embarrassed to play it. And that is a sport called curling. What happens is there's a number of young ladies. They show up in a ladies' room, powder bathroom kind of setting. They take these hot iron curlers and they curl their hair in competition. What? Well, that's not what it is? Okay, fine. Curling has nothing to do with curls. Curling is that, see, you may not know what it's called, but you've seen it before. And when you saw it for the first time, you said to yourself, what the fuck's going on here? They take these little, the canisters from Hoover vacuum cleaners, and they put a handle on it. And then somebody dressed up like they don't know how to dress up, like they're wearing skin-tight clothes from working behind the counter at Arby's. That's the uniform for, I don't understand it. There's a long sheet of ice. Seniors, don't play curling. You could fall down and break a hip. Don't play curling. What they do is these human beings, this one human being, and standing on the ice wearing just normal everyday shoes that you wear at the office. And so, because it's got to be slippery, And they take the handle of the Hoover vacuum cleaner canister. Also looks like a Roomba vacuum cleaner with a handle on it. That's what it looks like. Or a jug or a small propane tank. There's a handle on it, and they shove it down this long sheet of ice, and then they propel it. There's a target at the other end of the sheet of ice, about what, 50 feet away or something, or 20 feet. I have no idea. Looks like a little bowling alley made of ice, and they propel this thing to this target area, and they try to get a bullseye. They slide it into the bullseye. Here's where the, and as if that didn't sound stupid enough, what are you doing? What are you training for? I'm training to push a Hoover vacuum cleaner canister down a sheet of ice. Oh, okay. All right. So I'm sorry to bother you. Sorry I asked. How do you train for that at home? I guess that's how you do it. But here's the weird part. The other team members, of which there are like two or three others, they get out. There are push brooms. What? Yes, there are push brooms involved. And they very, very quickly, like they're on some type of speed, or they've just like blown a couple of tons of cocaine. They're sweeping very, very quickly, because if you sweep hard enough, I guess you can propel the little vacuum cleaner canister to the target. There's a lot of cleaning going on here. There's a vacuum cleaner canister and a lot of push rooms. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. Do you know where these people who do curling at Olympics, you know where they end up? Yes, house cleaning. They end up doing house cleaning and office cleaning. Yes, the motion of that broom, they become experts. They become experts, and they take the canister and they hook it up to a vacuum cleaner hose, and they vacuum the floor. It's the next logical step after doing curling in the Olympics, the next to own your own cleaning company and to clean the offices and homes. If anybody came up to me and said, Ron, we're going curling later on this afternoon, would you like to come? My response would always be, what are you kidding me? My response would always, what are you high? Well, I guess you are, the way you maneuver those brooms. I don't get the curling. I don't get the curl. Is it fun to watch? Maybe for about a minute. And then you look around and you're embarrassed, like, oh, is somebody else watching me watch this? That would be embarrassing if anybody knew I was watching curling on television. Oh, my God. It's bad enough I watch golf. I watch a bunch of people wearing pastel-colored pants walking around a giant meadow hitting a little ball with a stick. It's embarrassing. The only reason I watch, there's two reasons I watch golf on TV. The first is that I didn't get enough sleep last night, and I need something to calm me down so I can fall asleep. Golf will always do it, always. Even the announcers don't want to talk too loud because they could wake me up. He's on the green now on the third hole, and he's about to putt. Why are we talking? Why are we whispering? Because Ron's trying to get some sleep. He's falling asleep. Don't wake him up. You'll ruin it for everybody. The only exciting part of golf is when the ball goes into water or into a sand trap. Then it's, whoa, conflict. Ooh. Other than that, it's so freaking boring. It's really boring. It's so boring. It is really boring. I love the people that say, the golfers that say, yeah, I'm going to go out and get some exercise. I'm going to play 18 holes today. Well, that could mean a few things. I'm going to go play 18 holes of golf. I'm going to get some exercise. That's great. What are you going to do? I'm going to hit the ball with my stick, and then I'm going to get in the golf cart, and I'm going to drive to the next location. You're going to drive to the next location? Yes, I am. What kind of exercise is that, you moron? And every once in a while, and I won't play golf again because I'm just so embarrassed about this, they have ball washing stations. And, there's an actual sign, and then there's a pole and a little water hookup, and it says ball washing. And I can't tell you at first how embarrassing it was when I misunderstood just what I was supposed to do there. It was embarrassing, especially when my pants went down. I could see other golfers staring at me saying, I don't think he understands what that ball washing station is really for. Needless to say, I was never allowed back on the course, and it's okay. I never want to go back. I used to play golf with my friend John Shanahan, who's a comedy writer, does the opening announcements, writes many of the comedy bits, the comedy commercials. He's a genius. He is. But we used to play golf, everyone, at the Strawberry Hill Golf Course, I believe, which I believe was created by the Beatles. I'm not sure. This is even before Beatles existed. So we used to go on the golf course, but they didn't have really big restrictions there. Like you had to wear stupid pants or You know, you didn't have to dress so stupid. So I used to go just wearing jeans, a T-shirt, and I used to walk around with a driver, a nine iron, and a putter. That was it. That's all I had. And I didn't have a golf bag, so I just carried them around. I tied a rope around them so I could carry them easier. Nobody threw me off the course. And John and I used to play golf. And all we said to the other people who were playing golf was, go on, play through. That's all we ever said. John was fairly good at it. I wasn't. But we did enjoy the ball washing station. Okay. Anyway. I love watching the news when they get to the sports thing, which is usually about 20 minutes after the hour. They go into their little sports thing. They do the local sports and the national sports and all that stuff, you know. And I love it when they interview these NFL players or NBA players. I'm just throwing letters around. NFL, NBA, ABC, and it doesn't matter. They interview like a football player, you know. Like you didn't win the game today. What do you have to? Do you have any comments about not winning the game today? Yeah, we didn't win because we scored less points than the other team. And what we got to do next time we play is we have to score more points. We got to stop the other team from scoring. We didn't do that very well today, so we're going to try a lot harder. It is a game, and we're gonna play it hard. We all decided. We had a little meeting after the game, and we're gonna try harder next time because we are a team. It is a team sport, so we have to play like we are a team because we are a team. Strategy for the next game is to try harder and to stop the other team from winning and to dominate the game. We have to dominate the game. We've always said, the head coach always says to us, you have to dominate the game. Get out there and score more points. Our offense has to be more offensive, and our defense has to be more defensive. And I don't know how we can be more offensive than we already are, but we're going to try to. Offense is the way you score points. We decided that at the last rehearsal there, at the last training. I'm sorry. Did I call it a rehearsal? It's not. It's a training session. And that's what we have to do. In order to win, we have to score more, and we just realized that for the first time today. So we do have to score more than the other team in order to win, and that's going to be our goal. And we're going to get more goals. We have to get more goals. We have to put some points up there. That's apparently how you win the game. You have to put some more points up there. So we're going to try real hard to put some more points up there. And we all rely on each other because it's a team sport, and that's what team people are supposed to do. So, next, we're going to gather ourselves and do some more practice, and we're going to get there. We're going to, we have to achieve a win. That's what we have to do. We have to put more points on the board. If we can put more points on the board than the other team, I think we got a winning game, and I think that's the winning formula for us, is to score more and to stop the other team from scoring that much, and I think we'll be good. It's an effort. It's an effort. We all have to put the effort in. We tell each other that we have to put that effort in. Without the effort, there is no glory without effort. And we're going to do that. We have to move the ball. Moving the ball is very... without moving the ball, nothing's going to happen with the ball. So we have to move the ball. We have to stop the ball washing in the middle of the game, even though there are no ball washing places. But we do like to wash our balls. We do know that clean balls mean a successful game, and we need to clean our balls more frequently. And that's how we're going to win these golf games, and these football games, and these baseball games, and these basketball games, and these curling games. We have to just make sure that we're on the same page. When your team is not on the same page, you tend not to be on the same page as much, and that can lead to not winning a lot. So we got to do that. We've got to put the effort in. We've got to gather ourselves as a team. We've got to be more successful. That's a key to winning the game, is to being more successful. And we're going to do that. And the head coach will be up here in just a few minutes and reiterate everything I said, because there's nothing more to say about any of this. This is why you shouldn't be interviewing sports people, because we don't know what to say that we haven't said already that isn't so freaking obvious that it's not boring. But the fact that you're speaking to someone playing the game is a little bit more interesting as if you spoke to somebody who wasn't playing the game. So I guess that's why you're speaking to me, and thank you. You know, stop it. Just stop with the stupid sports interviews. And then when the sports announcers, you know, we got the big game tomorrow. We're all going to stand. We got the big game tomorrow, and we have to. I mean, it's like this is the most important thing in the world to these people. I remember when I used to go to bars before there was a pandemic. I remember going to a sports bar every once in a while, because every bar, by the way, has turned into a sports bar. For some reason, there used to be what they call cocktail lounges. Now they're sports bars. Why? I like the cocktail lounge thing. It was like cool and laid back and fancy and cuddly. Now it's a sports bar with people yelling and screaming at TV sets. I don't know. But I overhear the conversations. No, they're arguably the best team. Well, then let's argue. I mean, what are you talking about? Arguably? Yes, they're arguably the best team. What am I supposed to do, argue with you now? I don't understand what you just said. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to break for a commercial. When we come back, my guest will join us. Yeah. You think that'll be fun? You got another thing coming. We'll be right back.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
All right, that was a tad politically incorrect, but it's a comedy bit. All right, cut it out. My guest joins us now. Erica Suda joins us now. She's a nationally recognized expert on parenting. It's a pleasure having you here, because we need you right now. How you doing today?
Thanks, Ron.
Okay.
Good. Excited to be here.
Great. Okay, you know, I'm a parent, and when I had my kids, I didn't have to think at all about the internet. I think it was around, but we didn't pay much attention to it. It wasn't that impactful. This is a whole new experience for parents, and they can't go to their parents and say, what do I do? Because parents didn't have that situation at all. I guess that's considerable.
Yeah. It's really amazing when you think about it. Research says that 93% of kids between 6 and 12 have access to a tablet or a smartphone. So kids at younger and younger ages are interacting with technology. So now parents have to take it upon themselves to help kids develop a healthy relationship with technology. And the hope is that this healthy relationship will follow them into adulthood.
Yes. I would assume, I mean, I don't have surveys in front of me. You might, but I assume that this might be one of the biggest concerns that parents have right now.
Oh, yeah. Parents are always telling me, you know, I'm really worried about what they're doing online or the kind of messages they receive. But we have to remember that there are tools out there to help us. And that's what I want parents to know and realize. There are tools to help us create good digital citizens with our children, and also help them create boundaries. It's really about kids knowing what is right and what is wrong. And one of the ways we did that in my home, and I talked to a lot of parents who also use this tool, is Messenger Kids. You know, from a very young age, we see kids need to use technology, whether it's for school or to communicate when we're in lockdown, to have access to the outside world. So you want them to do that when parents have a lot of oversight and a lot of control. And something like Messenger Kids gives that to parents.
I suppose so. And it's important because otherwise parents can say, yeah, I know what my kid's doing online. I watch, I glance over the shoulder every once in a while. But they don't. The kids are alone for hours. It's not an excuse.
Right. You really need to dig deeper than that. What I love is that all of my son's messages, what videos he sent, what everything that he received, I could download and I could see how he's interacting with Messenger Kids. But one of my favorite parts of the app is that, you know, there's a pledge that you ask the kids to take, and it's to be kind, be respectful, be safe, and have fun. And those are all tools and skills that we want them to use in the real world. So it's great that Messenger Kids is encouraging them to use it in the digital space. And there are even games to help teach them those skills. And a lot of kids, especially little ones, learn by in that experiential way, by playing games. So it's really an amazing tool for parents.
Wow. That'd be nice if there was a pop-up on everybody's computer every time they went on it to remind them. Yeah, it's a good idea. I like that, actually.
And parents need the refresher, too.
Yeah. It's funny. You know, I do a lot of interviews, and, you know, when we're talking about things for kids, I always realize, no, they're really for adults, too. I mean, it's everything that's applicable toward them should be applicable toward adults as well, but, you know, it's different. Okay.
It's true, but it's a good time to remind yourself that you need boundaries as well. You know, teens, a lot of people are worried about their teens because then you get into the realm of worrying about things that are being said or how they're interacting with their friends, and you may not see all of the communications that your teen have. Mm-hmm. But I think what's really important is to talk to them about what they can do to empower themselves. So if your teens are using Messenger, which is great for older kids, they can block people that they don't want to talk to, or they can restrict the kind of communication that they have with them so that the other person can't see when they've read a message or when they are online. So all of those things are really important because it's about empowering kids. Yes. And hey, parents sometimes need the reminder that they can use those tools too.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in the news about the misuse of the social spaces. It's one thing to not send them to certain websites because, you know, that's misinformation or they can't handle it yet or it's too adult. But I think the real danger, and I guess you'll agree, is going to the social sites and not being able to navigate them properly and getting like all kinds of damaging messages.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is where parents really can come in to help kids with their relationship with messaging apps, right? So you want to talk to your kid about who they're talking to, what kind of information they're sending, what kind of things people are saying to them, you know, and don't do it when you're upset or yelling. Try to just talk to them at dinner or when you're in the car and just so that they know what is appropriate and what's not appropriate and that they set boundaries for themselves. This is really about empowering our kids so that they develop healthy relationships now that will take them through life. Don't shy away from these conversations. Your kids will appreciate it too because they may not know what to do in certain situations. And I also love that with Messenger, there are tools within there to help you figure out how to handle certain sticky situations. So it really is a great way for kids to feel like they have some agency and they have some power and that they have the ability to shape how they want their online life to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. How do I physically do this? I mean, where do I go and how does this work?
Well, you can find all the information on messengernews.fb.com. Okay. It really is a wonderful resource. I tell parents all the time. I use it myself. So it really will help your kids navigate their online life.
Okay, fine. How do I follow Erica?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram at Erica Souter. It's E-R-I-C-K-A-S-O-U-T-E-R. I talk all things parenting all the time. And it's real honest talk about parenting.
There you go. That's as helpful as the tool is, I believe. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time today. One more time, those websites where people can go.
messengernews.fb.com.
Erica, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Will you join me then? You don't have to commit right now. Think about it. Until then, I wish you peace.